Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of April 1st, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us, we have Joe.
Bop. Bosley, bop. Diddy bop.
And back from his convention tour, Chris.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're missing our, like, daily, our episode quota of, like, mispronounced words and crazy tangents.
Let me tell you about this church thing I ate.
We tried our best to, or rather, I tried my best to take us on as many fucked up tangents as possible, but god damn it, Zach keeps reining me in. Mm-hmm. We need to outnumber him and overpower him.
All right, so I think we got a pretty great show as usual, so I want to get right into it with news. And kick off with a couple trailers to talk about this week. First up, there was the trailer for Two Guns, which is an upcoming action comedy starring Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington. Kind of the
Two Guns are better than one.
That should be the tagline.
Yeah, if there were a 90s tagline ever for this movie, it would be
Two Guns are better than one this summer.
They're about to find out. That guy's about to find out.
Oh, man.
But it's based on a graphic novel, and it's also from, I think, it's from the director of Contraband, so who is a like a Norwegian or Swedish gentleman. I can't remember his name, but he's a crazy...
But god damn it, he knows how to direct Mark Wahlberg, so he knows how to accentuate the Wahlberg-ness.
Mm-hmm. So, those two guys are, well, I think Denzel Washington is a DEA agent, and then Mark Wahlberg works for Naval Intelligence, and they're both sort of in the same, they're investigating the same, drug cartel, and they get involved in, like, a bank robbery. They both get set up on the bank robbery, both find out that the other one is also some sort of law enforcement, and they both get kicked off their respective organizations, then they're... So we're teaming together to try to figure out who set them up and take down the cartel. And it looks like Bill Paxton is going to be possibly the leader of the cartel with, like, a crazy southern accent.
Yeehaw.
Did either guys check out the trailer?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I think it looks cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm a fan of Mark a legitimate fan of Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Not in, like,
we love Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, we do, man, and not in a snarky or ironic kind of way. He's a badass actor who's usually in pretty damn good, like, action flicks. So, yeah, he's always got my vote. And then Denzel Washington is just a bad, bad man. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to come up with movies that he's been in that I'm like, ugh, turn this off. You know, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, I don't think we have to go through the list, but... God, even in, what was that movie with, like, the runaway train, like, Unstoppable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, even that, which honestly didn't look that compelling, he made that an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, which was just completely and utterly ridiculous in all the worst ways, again, he was the best part of that movie, hands down. Other than Travolta's... questionable
toupee.
Villain antics. Yeah. It's questionable toupee. Well done, sir. So yeah, man, I'm on board totally. I don't know if the comedy is gonna, like, I don't know if it's gonna bring us back to, like, the classic buddy cop days of the mid to late 80s, but damn it, I'll take it.
I saw a lot of people comparing it on, like, other sites, comparing, it seemed like the writing was, like, they're compared to, like, Shane Black. So kind of like Last Boy Scout or something, like, along those lines. Like, he wrote a bunch of those scripts, like Lethal Weapon, I think he wrote. So.
Okay.
That could be interesting. He didn't write this script, but people are just comparing it sort of in that style. Yeah. He's busy directing Iron Man 3, so.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure some people will see that movie.
But I think
that movie's coming out
in a couple weeks.
Wait, there was an Iron Man movie?
Yeah, weird.
Wow.
But I think it looks like the action looks pretty awesome and like super like style. Like it seems like hopefully it's like in Contraband they had like that one scene which is like they're in Panama or wherever they went. It was like the van getting attacked. Like that was like the only that was like the one big action scene they saw in the trailer. That was like the big action scene in the movie. But hopefully like they can expand that out to like multiple action sequences in this movie.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because, I mean, it looks awesome, so. It's, like, super, super, super detailed, like, slow-mo, like Judge Dredd style.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is coming out later this summer, I think. I think August.
Action season.
Yeah.
Yes. Which really kicks in the... It will be kicking off, we'll say, what? Early next month with Iron Man 3?
Yeah, I mean...
The official summer blockbuster season shot heard around the world?
Yes, yeah, summer blockbuster season is May. So, as soon as May gets.
Yes.
Yeah, this one's coming out... So Two Guns is coming out August 2nd.
Okay, cool.
And then, actually, a bunch of sort of, like, horror movie trailers came out, like, last week or so. We got another trailer. We actually haven't talked about it on the show or put it on the site yet, but we put the new trailer for The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually just got rated R, even though apparently has nothing that would really warrant it being rated R. It's too scary for PG-13, according to the director.
Yep. I've said it before, but I am so excited for this movie. I really am. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Ed and Lorraine Warren, just as like paranormal investigators, because usually I don't buy into that kind of stuff, and like especially nowadays with shows like paranormal investigators, ghost bouncers.
Yo.
If you're a fan of Troll Show,
yo, bro,
bro, we're gonna bounce this ghost right now. Bobby Bottle Service, that man's a genius. But in light of Paranormal Activity and all that stuff, it just kind of seems like the whole ghost and actual paranormal investigation area. It's so overdone.
Like, fucking, like, ghost mine. And I was like...
Yeah,
like,
man.
And I was gonna be like, caging ghosts or something? Or I don't know.
Dude, it's just so, like... It's such a farce now. You know what I mean? It's such a joke. Like, in the 80s and 90s, too, like, ghost movies meant something. Like, when The Haunting came out in the 90s with Liam Neeson... That shit was, like, a game changer, because there hadn't been a really good, like, legit ghost or, like, haunted house movie in a long time. So, fast forward to The Conjuring, the first trailer for this movie was really left a lasting impression with me, just because I feel like it had that sort of, like, big gasp moment at the end of it, which was perfect, and it's something that got people talking, and it's something that stays with you, too, because it's very unique. But this trailer, we actually got to see more of, I guess, the story sort of panning out, and you could definitely see how, the Insidious imprint is all over this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of everything from, like, the shots to the color palette to, like...
To Patrick Wilson,
and there being ghosts, and more importantly, I think in the approach that they take to horror, where it's like there's obviously this movie is just going to be like build up, and then like sledgehammer in the face of terror, because the stuff in this trailer actually looked pretty spooky, but to its credit, I think that what was intended to be the scariest thing, which I guess if you saw the trailer is the thing with the music box at the end, was actually the least scary.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's interesting because that's probably one of those examples of like the studio's hands being in what they think makes a good trailer like, and we'll, what will get people excited for a horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, oh, there has to be some, like, payoff, like, some, like, quick shock at the end. But that didn't really do it for me, but everything else in that trailer was so well done. Really, really excited. And it being rated R just fucking because is, like, I don't know. I think
yeah, there's, like, I think it's got to be, like, at least some hype by, like, James Wan.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, he's, like, they didn't really have any notes for me about what to change. I'm not really going to have to change anything to get it, like,
yeah.
It's just, like, they just said, we have to rate R.
They said that there was no scene or sequence that merited being, like, cut because of, like, violence or gore or, like, rape or, you know, nudity or anything like that. It was just too scary. And in a way, it kind of takes you back to the I won't say golden age, but, like, the kind of glory days of, like, horror and sci-fi motion pictures and black and white in the 50s where they would pull things like, you know, movie studios being like, this movie, you must sign a waiver of content,
yes.
or a waiver of consent to see this movie so that you don't die of terror.
We'll be selling, like, life insurance policies at the door in case you die, like, of fright.
Like, if you don't believe us, Google that. That shit actually happened. And it was like,
coffins will be for sale next to the popcorn stand.
Just about. And it was legitimately, I think, like, brilliant, brilliant marketing that we haven't really seen, you know,
I'm sure,
lately.
I'm sure, like, some, like, TV spots are going to be like, too scary for PG-13.
Yeah. Too fast. Too fast for love.
Too ghost, too furious.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, they're going to have a field day with marketing this movie. And the last thing that I think merits mentioning about this that's pretty significant, actually, is look at when this movie's coming out.
Yeah, July.
It's coming out, like, the last week of July, man. I mean, they are, you know,
I'm going to look up quick what's also coming out that weekend.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head what else is coming out, but I know that is, like, literally prime summer movie time.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about it being the, you know, blockbuster season or the season of action, but for any movie to get released at that time, the studio.
Oh man, that's actually it's like a packed weekend too.
Oh fuck!
It's
really
it's Conjuring, R.I.P.D., which is I believe Ryan Reynolds, Josh Brolin, like paranormal action, like kind of Hellboy-esque.
I thought it was like spiritual M.I.B., which is like the same concept, but they're ghost detectives.
Yeah. Pretty much, like, they're just, like, handling a paranormal crap. Red 2 and Turbo.
Nice. Ooh. Well.
And smack dab between Pacific Rim and the Wolverine.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to be, like, living in the movies.
Yep.
Like, in the movie theater. God damn. Chris, that was, like, that one summer, like, 2 years ago, where it was just, like, every Friday, we're like, God damn it, like, here we are again.
I think it was, like, watching Expendables. Like, every other movie was leading up to the Expendables.
Yes, oh my God, that was so perfect.
It was, like, Captain America, Avengers, Expendable, Thor.
Same goddamn year, man. Ugh, so great. And I think, were you there for Green Lantern? No, but I saw Green Lantern that same year. Ugh, I wish I could have that one back.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, they're really, you know, putting their balls on the table, so to speak, with this one, being like, oh yeah, it's a horror movie, but we think you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so look out for that one this summer. And then speaking of, like, Insidious and those whoever those producers are that produce everything, apparently.
Every horror movie that's come out since Insidious, from the minds that brought you Insidious.
Yeah, so actually another one from the minds of the people who brought you Insidious is The Purge. Did you guys see the trailer for this one?
From the marketing intern that worked on Insidious.
It's never a good time to be Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
No. No, it's not.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke getting himself in another wacky predicament.
Oh my God, it's Ethan Hawke.
If it's Ethan Hawke and his family, something shitty always happens.
Yeah.
Something awful is on the cusp of happening.
So, actually, so The Purge has a crazy, like, sort of high concept premise is that the U.S. government basically, what America is having, like, this, like, crazy, like, revival of, like, they have a 1% unemployment rate and there's, like, no crime. but it's because they every year for one day.
But there's a ghost epidemic.
Yes. Some demon named Sabubu or whoever is running around. But so they basically one day a year they allow there's like this 12-hour period they call it the purge, and all crime is legal. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can murder people. You can steal things. You can rape people. Doesn't matter. You can do for 12 hours. You can do whatever the hell you want. And so basically, what happens is that Ethan Hawke and his family they don't participate. They just lock themselves in their house. But then one of the daughters sees like this guy outside, who's running away from some people, and they let him in. And then this like group of masked like thugs shows up and like demands that they let the guy out to like kill him. And then it turns into like this crazy like home invasion movie.
I blame the Obama administration. Fucking purge.
The one thing I can't figure out is that, like, the kids know this shit goes on. And, like, they even had, like, a preemptive talk like, this is at an event. We just gotta deal with it. The kids are like, I understand.
Happy Hunger Games!
Yeah, and then, like, an hour later, they're just like, well, I'll disregard everything you told me and let in this, like, person.
He looks trustworthy.
Yeah.
I know, so I'm just like, ah, you dumbass kid. And then it's like, I just kind of want the kids to die at that point. I'm like, well, you didn't listen to your dad.
You need like a...
Listen to your goddamn parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless Ethan Hawke has like a fucking like Jesse the Body Ventura like chain gun from Predator in a panic room, I don't really see that being a good idea. You know, like fucking with that gang. So interesting times.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big year for home invasion horror movies. It seems like.
Yeah.
There's also I don't know if you guys saw You're Next. Did you get to see a trailer for that one?
That looks pretty badass, actually, yeah.
I'm excited about, like, almost, And Then There Were None, or Ten Little Indians, like, the basis.
For what?
Where it's just, like, this kind of story.
Oh.
Where it's just, like,
I mean, it's not
they're getting picked off.
It's more like The Strangers or something, or Funny
Games. Yes.
I think there's still, like, I think that's something, like, planned, though. This isn't something that they just kind of, like, randomly did, you know? Like, if you notice their traps, they're kind of elaborate. And then, like, some of the hunting thing is not just like I'm just going to chase you and hope for the best. This is kind of like, they set up, definitely, like, they you know, like...
Oh,
it's more along the lines of, like, a Saw or The Collector or a Collector.
Yeah. What, You're Next?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
apparently,
about.
Yeah, apparently, I was reading, like, the description of that today, and apparently, like, so, I think, I'm pretty sure it's the girl you see in the trailer the whole time, but, like, she's, like she has some crazy killing skills... that, like, no one knows about. So that's why it's like the twist of the movie is that, like, these guys come in and expect, like, this, like, super easy, like, just picking off these people. And then, like, one of the guests
but
is,
she
like...
actually just switched her birth control and broke up with her boyfriend, so she's just a time bomb.
Yes.
Just, she's just ready to kill.
A particular set of skills.
It's Annie!
Kimmy!
Why did I call her Annie? Yeah, Kimmy!
Throw these grenades!
Yeah, seriously. That's the end of the movie right there.
It's just Liam Neeson just shows up for no reason.
Oh, that would be, like, the greatest twist ever, is, like, 2 minutes into the movie.
Or
she dies, and then Liam Neeson's her dad, and, like, seeks revenge on the pig mask.
I was gonna say, like, it's, like, the last, like, 2 minutes of the movie, and, like, they're about to, like, murder her, and this is, like, poosh, 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 Liam Neeson shows up. Deus S. Neeson.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so...
We should...
Anyway, seems like a pretty solid year for horror this upcoming summer. Actually, the summer, like, crazy, like, the summer is going to be, like, pretty solid horror throughout.
Yeah, I think...
Instead of, like, all jam-packed into October, like it usually is.
Yeah, yeah. Without, you know, fluffing it too much, I think that we can thank Insidious for that, because it was a critical and commercial success.
Sinister was also pretty, absolutely.
But more importantly, I would say Insidious, just because it kind of showed, like, hey, guess what? You don't have to do a found footage horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And man, while we're on the subject, I cannot wait for The Evil Dead. I really can't. And I have a feeling that it's going to probably bring in the second and arguably, hopefully, better wave of horror movie remakes. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, it's going to be a very... Yeah. And again, we haven't seen too much of that. so we don't really know what to expect from it, except from the teaser, which promises utter fucking, you know, carnage and destruction. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, great year for horror. Mm-hmm.
So, moving on to other news, we learned today, being Wednesday, that we have our next cast member for Guardians of the Galaxy. And it is...
Danny DeVito is Rocket Raccoon.
Yes. That'd be pretty awesome, but...
Yeah, actually.
But no, it's Zoe Saldana of Star Trek and Avatar is going to be playing Gamora, who is described as, like, the most dangerous woman in the galaxy. And she's a giant green alien woman with, like, double swords and just murders people.
And the power to nag.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, just like with, like, Dave Bautista as Drax, I wonder if they're going to be CG or just, like, crazy prosthetics.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're wondering if they're going to bone, in which case I was going to guess probably.
I don't, they seem like they're the same, because they're both green, so I don't know if they're the same species or not, or just, because I don't, like, Drax was, like, genetically engineered, so.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're going to get freaky and interplanetary. Mm-hmm. With it.
But yeah, Guardians shaping up pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can get hopefully get some sort of like sneak peek or something at late this year.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Actually, I mean, it's kind of phase two ish that video you posted on the site today.
Yeah.
You get kind of a look, but it's more like concept art than anything else.
That's
okay.
There was like the Ant-Man footage that they had in that clip. Was amazing.
Yeah, who saw that coming? By the way, not I. Because isn't that supposed to be Phase 3? Like, that's not supposed to be for a while, and they just kind of like snuck it in. Like Ant-Man. Wait, what?
Later.
Yeah, at some point.
I don't even know who Ant-Man is.
I think it's supposed to be... I think it's come out the same year as... I think it's come out in 2015 with Avengers 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I mean, I know that they've had the, like, title art for it for, like, 3 years now.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. Like, it's very much been on the agenda. It just hasn't actually happened yet, so... Yeah, but that looked very, very cool. I have to say, I was skeptical at best about Ant-Man panning out into something worth seeing.
It reminded me a lot of like the Nightcrawler sequence at the beginning of X2.
Yes. Yes, it did, which was debatably the best part of that movie.
Mm-hmm. So,
So cool.
Mm-hmm. So, other casting news, Will Arnett has been cast in the new Ninja Turtles movie in a role no one knows what it is.
Come on, Splinter.
If it's Casey Jones, I am
going to... He's a little old for Casey Jones.
I'm just saying, if it's Casey Jones, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it'll probably involve some sort of A-team... falling tank from the sky through the roof of Michael Bay's production company building maneuver.
Ugh. If I had to guess, I would say he might be the villain, but maybe not Shredder, but maybe Shredder, but maybe some other like
Shredder, but also probably Shredder,
or maybe some weird like who's back
Krang.
TMNT, like who's like it was like something Winters, I can't remember his name, but...
Yeah, basically, Patrick... as long as he's, like, Joe Bluth,
If he was an evil magician, oh my god.
Yeah. Or if he was just, like, the, like, douchey businessman, like, oh, come on, the guy in the $5,000 shoes is gonna fight a turtle, come on.
And he just rides a Segway the entire time.
Yeah. We're gonna find Hermano.
Then he mutates. Yeah, then he mutates into a giant chicken.
Yeah, go. Yeah, weird news for sure. But I don't know, man. I'll put it to you like this: I really love Will Arnett, and I really love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if they'll work together, but I'm willing to give it a try. I would feel a lot better if I knew who the hell he was playing. But, you know, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we had the last bit of casting news. We found out today that Matthew McConaughey is confirmed to be starring in Christopher Nolan's next movie, Interstellar.
All right.
Exploring space.
Taking my pants off.
Failure to launch.
Magic Mike in space.
Sure is hot up here in space. I need to take my shirt off.
Space cowboy.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we talked about Interstellar, I think, when they announced it. But it's basically this group of scientists is going to explore, I think, a black hole. And then it's like this, it's going to turn into like crazy Christopher Nolan-esque insanity of like multiple dimensions and alternate universes and all sorts of crazy stuff happening.
Mind crimes, yeah. And time lapses.
They're going to go three layers deep into a universe.
Oh, boy.
And apparently it's based on like, I think based on like a book, I can't remember his name, but an astrophysicist wrote this book about all this crazy stuff that could happen with like black holes and so.
Wasn't my boy Neil deGrasse Tyson?
No, it was someone else.
Okay, I was gonna say, better cut homeboy a check. He's gotta get paid.
He should have a cameo.
God damn, if he doesn't, I'd be insulted. Neil deGrasse Tyson, for my money, is one of the coolest people on the face of the earth.
Yep.
Because he's smarter than, like, everybody we all know combined. But he's also got, like, a sense of humor and seems like a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, fuck it. Put him in Interstellar. He's like, even if he's just, like, a professor, like, with a pipe who just goes, and then, like, walk off screen. Like, or it's I don't approve of this plan.
Or, like, Matthew McConaughey walks up to him and he's like, oh, looks like we got a badass over here.
Yeah. Or he's like about to board the ship and he's like, give us some knuckles. And he's like, okay. And just like, gives him a quick pound. Hey, kids, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy. Yeah, they're meeting at Beekman's grave.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Yeah, rest in
peace. Mr. Wizard's grave, maybe.
Yeah. Boy, oh, boy.
I think Beekman's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, he probably wishes he was dead.
They need to assemble just like a site, like a from like Futurama, like the science action team.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It's like Al Gore, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye,
Morgan Freeman, just so he could read whatever they write.
Yep.
And probably Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
But I would absolutely be floored if Interstellar was just the single biggest covert secret troll in history, and this is just a live-action Futurama movie.
Oh my God.
Can you fucking imagine how great that would be?
That would be amazing.
Like, code name Interstellar. Oh, boy.
Interstellar Express, maybe.
Oh. Or if they're like, man, Star Trek is getting revived, and Star Wars is getting new life breathed into it. What if Christopher Nolan's gritty remake of his reimagining of Battlestar Galactica,
which already kind of happened, but
with Christopher Nolan, come on,
it had to be something like really like it had to be like Space 1999 or something, or some yeah. some insane like Lost in Space again or something.
Oh boy.
Matthew McConaughey is Dr. Smith.
Christopher Nolan's Saul of the Mole Men. I think we'd all see that.
So, anyway, actually, speaking of space and space epics, there's a couple of Star Wars stories that got brought up this week. First up, crazy, like, shocking news today, but apparently Disney is shutting down LucasArts.
No.
I've read it like both ways on multiple sites, but like I've seen a couple sites saying that Star Wars 1313, which is like they showed at E3 last year, it's like this crazy gritty M-rated Star Wars game, it's sort of like you're a bounty hunter going down like the level 1313 of Coruscant. Some sites are saying that's still they're moving it to another developer. Some say that like every Star Wars game's canceled, every game that LucasArts had in development's canceled. So who knows what's going on right now? But yeah.
Can I just say for the record how awesome that game looked?
Yep.
And how fucking utterly disappointed I'm going to be if it never sees the light of day. It will be the second biggest disappointment after the Daredevil PlayStation 1 game that was made, packaged, and just never had anything done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
It was made, packaged, and shot on the leg.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think Disney also shut down like most of their other like their like internal video game studios too. Like they shut down the studio that made Tron. They shut down they made that weird like off road game Pure.
They yeah, shut that down. Yeah.
And basically, like their entire video game focus now is Disney Infinity,
which is terrible, in my opinion.
But they also they said they're gonna possibly make. I'm sure they'll be making like when episode 7 comes out, there's gonna be like a tie-in game from Disney.
Well, that they could be doing that now. They could be just doing like all hands on deck developing for next gen consoles.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't understand why they would like I understand that they have more money than God or whatever, but like I don't understand what the end game is for shutting down all the in-production games. If that is the case, I don't understand the point of doing that. I mean, you would have to assume that it would be so that they have, some, like, brand continuity, if that's the right term. You know what I mean? That, like, everything across the board is, like, falling into the same mold and has the same sort of, you know, standards and all that stuff so that they can see it through from beginning to end and not like release several different quality or types of games, if that makes any sense at all. I don't know. It's just upsetting because LucasArts was like, when it was good, it was really, really awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. Mid-90s adventure games.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, man.
Maniac Mansion.
Yep.
Grim Fandango.
Yep.
And then
the Star Wars games themselves.
Super Star Wars, yeah.
Super Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
Come on.
Even recently, like Battlefront. I know everyone loves Star Wars Battlefront. And Battlefront 3 is never coming out now, probably. Which has been in development for like at least five years, I'd say. Like,
they also did Shadows of the Empire, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, was that not like the biggest game changer of all time?
The multimedia event of the decade.
Man, no, but seriously, because like when that game came out for Nintendo 64, I don't know about you guys, but you know, there's not a whole lot that I remember from fourth grade, like in like really vivid detail, but. Damn, I remember, like, the first time I saw that game being played. I mean, I can tell you everything about that moment. Where I was, who I was with, like, what I felt, what I thought if I was hungry. Like, it was just such a, like, intense sort of thing. I was like, holy shit, this changes everything. And now I need a Nintendo 64. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the end of an era.
Yo, also, like, robot, like Dark Forces.
Oh man, Jedi that Knight. Was so great. And oh man, what about the that first person shooter they had for PlayStation 1? Oh man, I forget what it was called, and I'm really stupid.
Yeah. Dark Forces 1. Just
yeah. That. Oh yeah. My bad.
It was like a Doom clone.
Yes, it was, but it was cool because you played from both sides. You played as like the Galactic Empire. Like you played as everything from like stormtroopers to like other kind of troopers.
Wait, are you thinking of Battlefront, then, like, Joe?
No, I'm not thinking of Battlefront. It was a first-person shooter for PlayStation 1.
Well, you played as Kyle Katarn before Jedi, so he was technically not Alliance, but he was a Imperial Forces, and then he switches.
So then you would be playing from both sides.
Yeah, technically.
No, I mean, well, Dark Forces, you were always on the Rebel side. You were just like a bounty hunter. Like, you're like a smuggler.
Hmm.
I didn't play Dark Forces. I played Dark Forces 2, and then I played Jedi Outcast.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know which one it was, because I don't own it, but I rented it, like, 4 goddamn times, which in retrospect probably merits being purchased, but when you're 9, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, there's also that Star Wars, like, fighter game, Masters of...
Oh, God, no.
The Terrascasi.
Of Teriyaki.
Yeah, I was like, I can never fucking pronounce that. Like, there's just no fucking way. I was like, the Masters of... That's made up. Like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was, the Masters of Bullshit.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
It's the martial arts of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, oh god.
So, another Star Wars news. So Dark Horse, actually, kind of weirdly, they still have the Star Wars license for the foreseeable future until they get yanked back to Marvel. But in September, they're going to be releasing an 8-issue miniseries based on the original, like, completely insane George Lucas script for Star Wars.
The Star Wars?
Yeah, The Star Wars, starring Luke Starkiller. And, yeah, there's so much, like, insanity that got changed. But, like, one of the main ones was that, like, Han Solo was, like, this giant green alien lizard thing.
He's a fucking reptoid.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, like, Anakin is, like, some fucking, like, badass general or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Lots of craziness.
Yeah, they actually released a couple of, like sable panels from, like, the comic.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty cool. I don't. Have you guys seen? Probably seen like the Ralph McQuarrie, like the original like concept art. Like, there's the one with like Luke with like a gas mask and like fighting Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, Anakin Starkiller, General Skywalker. So yeah, I think it wasn't Luke. Luke was, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the original Star Wars, I think.
Yeah, because he was, like, older and,
yeah,
like, badass and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So cool. But, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see, you know, the comic medium being used this way for, like, a weird kind of reboot, real-life Elseworlds kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what if this had actually panned out? Take a look. Behold.
I think Dark Horse also did, if not, they did the, it was like, they found, like, the Jim Henson, like, weird, like, unproduced script, and then they made that into a comic.
Oh, fuck, I didn't know about that.
It was, like, this really like, crazy, like, Dark Crystal, except it was, like, all on, like, this desert planet.
Huh.
So there's been a couple things like this before, so...
Well, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm not denying that, but, I mean, this is arguably the biggest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely check that out in September when it comes out. I'm sure it'll be on, like, our comic feature, the poll list. And that's it for news, unless there's anything else you guys can think of that we need to talk about.
There's some interesting Evil Dead developments going on.
Oh!
For the future of the series.
Yeah. Like, Bruce Campbell was talking like they're talking about merging the timeline, like the franchises together.
Yeah, allegedly the plan is to do a sequel to this Evil Dead, the remake,
mm-hmm.
and then do Army of Darkness 2, and then cross them both together into one universe in one like sort of Super Smash Brothers movie of some kind, which. You know, nothing's set in stone, obviously, and this isn't even, like, confirmed, but I would have to hope that if there's one person other than Sam Raimi who knows what the fuck is up, it's groovy Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that sounds pretty cool to me, actually. I always thought that Evil Dead was, and specifically, you know, Ash, you know, the character himself, was always perfect for these sort of like wacky crossovers that maybe other characters might not be so, you know, equipped for.
Yeah. So you can just, you know, like pretty much anywhere he arrives, you can just say like, oh, the Necromonicon brought him here.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, they're fucking ruining his life. Like even the Evil Dead video games for like PlayStation, and PlayStation 2, which I absolutely adored, were just phenomenal at doing that. Just like, hey, we're just going to ruin your life. Oh, no. Like, I'm being thrown into random places. And, like, you just kind of go with it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Mm-hmm.
But as we have spoken about previously, the sequel to this remake is already, like, in the works. So,
yep.
Full steam ahead.
Definitely interested to see how it does this weekend.
Yes.
So, moving on to the new release roundup of the week, and our pick of the week is the long-delayed but finally released Phase 1 Avengers Assembled Marvel Cinematic Universe box set.
Yay!
Which it comes in the briefcase, it has a replica Tesseract, it's got tons of concept art and crazy intelligence documents, and
hair from Nick Fury's goatee.
Yep.
Yeah.
His eye patch.
Yes.
And then every Marvel movie from Iron Man to Avengers so far.
Awesome.
And it also has, like, just a ton of bonus features, including that Phase 2, preview video that we posted on the Tumblr today. That's probably already taken down, but.
Probably.
Hopefully you saw it before it got taken down. Yep, so, $150, so for. Was that, is it like 8 movies? I'm trying to think how many Marvel movies has been. Iron Man 1, 2, Captain America.
Yep. Yep.
Thor.
Yep.
And Incredible Hulk and Avengers. So it's 6?
Yes.
Okay. 6, and then I think it's like 4 discs of bonus features or something. So I think it's like a 10 disc set.
Yeah. I would say it's worth it.
If you don't have any of the movies, then I would say yes, go get this right now. So also this week we have The Bible, the epic miniseries that just wrapped up on Sunday.
Heard about this Bible?
That was really fast.
The biggest event of in television history, or at least this year.
I think Who Shot Mr. Burns was the biggest event in television history. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
40 million something viewers for...
Spoiler alert, it was me.
Do you?
So, also have John Dies the End, which is crazy sci-fi movie that came out last year, from the guy directed Bubba Hotep and Beastmaster, yes, and a bunch of other cult favorite movies. Apparently, it's these two guys are trying to, like, investigating this... There's a new drug called... soy sauce.
Oh.
And you take soy sauce, then you just see, like, just the most absolutely crazy, batshit, insane stuff. And actually, I rented it on PlayStation Network, so I'll probably talk about that next week when I check it out. So stay tuned for that. We have The Killing, Season 2.
We've talked about this. There shouldn't be a Season 2.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Season 3 is coming soon, Chris.
What?
Yep.
How many dead bodies are they just finding?
New case, new killer.
New killings.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I don't know. I might have to watch it at some point just to see who the hell killed that stupid girl, but...
They still didn't tell you?
No.
Like...
End of Season 1 was a cliffhanger that was like...
I didn't get that far in Season 1. I watched maybe like 5 episodes where I was like, fuck this. Because it was, like, all the clues get pointing at nothing.
Oh, yeah, it was, I mean, it was worse with red herrings than, like, fucking a pup named Scooby-Doo. Because it was like, oh, it's definitely this guy. Oh, no, wait, he has this rock solid
whoops,
alibi.
It's not. Yeah.
No,
red herring.
It's like, you guys made this awful, like, torture/sex tape in the school basement with her. No, it wasn't her. Oh, man. But she went to this, like, Indian casino. Oh, wait, no, she didn't. Yeah, I would say definitely one of the weakest AMC shows.
Well, it still follows the AMC tradition of, like, hating your wife.
Being, like, super depressed.
Super depressed wife things.
Super depressed, like, main protagonist. Also have Hammer Horror Classic Triple Pack this week, which is, let me get it up quick here, it is Dracula, Prince of Darkness, The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, and Frankenstein Created Women.
I feel like that's a porno.
Oh, it is.
Start, I mean, anything's a porno if you try hard enough.
That's right.
Anyway, Zach, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying it was the porno star Grandma Tarkin. So actually, other stuff coming out this week. Baytown Outlaws, which is some direct-to-DVD Billy Bob Thornton, Eva Longoria movie. About bikers, I guess? We have The Sweeney, which is a... I think it's actually like a third... remake of, because I think there was like the original was like it's like Terrence Stamp, I think, was like the original Sweeney. It's just like this like British crime movie. This one stars Ray Winstone.
Wait, is this like a BBC tradition for someone to rotate being the like detective?
I don't think it's a show. I think it's a movie. I don't know. It could be a show.
It's kind of like every, like, 5 years, there's always, like, a Kojak remake.
Oh, it's a movie based on a show.
Oh.
It's
you know what I'm talking about, where, like, basically it's just it's a time classic character, but they keep rebooting him.
Yeah.
With different current age actors.
Like, who's the guy from, like, Payback? Parker. Like, there's been, like, four Parker movies.
I can't believe Payback and Parker are the same character.
Yeah. Also have UFC 155 on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Junior Dos Santos versus Cain Velasquez 2.
That's
the Mauler, a.k.a. The Mauling.
Another British show out this week, Dirk Gently, just from the guy Douglas Adams, who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And the Constitution.
The British Constitution. And even more so than, like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a lot of people were like, you'll never be able to film this Dirk Gently. Because it's just too, like, it's way too, like, there's too many, like, literature puns, and it only works as a book. But apparently...
Hitchhikers?
Both. Hitchhikers and Dirk Gently.
But, like, did you ever see the original Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie?
Like the BBC miniseries or whatever?
It was like a VHS collection of like just like
yeah.
Them kind of reacting shit. Like it's difficult to watch.
Hard to watch.
So also have Tormented 3D, which is from the Japanese director who brought you The Ring. Or the original The Ring. Ringu.
There is like four Ringu movies.
Yeah. Oh, actually, the director of the director of the Grudge, not the Ring. Or the
same guy. Thing.
Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Japanese horror movie. In 3D. We have. Kristen Schaal live at the Fillmore, which was on Monday. It's pretty hilarious.
I don't understand when the DVD comes out as soon as the special comes out, too. I always figure, like...
I mean, they're filmed, like, way, way in advance, so...
Comedy Central gave her no support. They put her... It debuted on, like, a
midnight.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday at midnight, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'll catch it later.
And it's funny, like... too, because I didn't even know Kristen Schaal did stand-up. So, I don't know. I'll check it out, I guess.
She's always been like, a good stand-up comedian. If you saw her, like...
I've
like...
never seen her stand up. I've seen her like on things like, and voice things.
It's like kind of like you'll never be able to watch like Bob's Burgers or like Gravity Falls again, because, like, she does, like, this, like, 10-minute, like, bit about, like, she, like, instead of the vagina monologues, it's the taint monologues.
That's cool.
But then, like, I also, like, then, like, this whole, like, the last half hour is, like, it turns, like, this, like, just, like, she's, like, into, like, just, like, bombing the entire set, just, like, it's just, like, super awkward.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm a pretty big fan of stand-up comedy, so, like, to never even see her, like, headlining anywhere in the tri-state area, like, I was kind
of
like,
yeah, it's like, she's intentionally, but it's, like, part of the act is that she's, like, bombing this, like...
Yeah, sure. The act. Those damn snarky, ironic, cool kid comedians.
Yeah, because she goes off stage and, like, they, like, bring out, like, this guy named... the comedian named Whoopi, who, like, dresses as a Whoopi cushion and just, like, tells fart jokes the entire time.
That's part of the act?
Yeah, like, she just goes off stage and, like, is, like, destroying her dressing room, and then, like, Whoopi's on stage doing fart jokes.
See, it's like...
That's why she doesn't headline at actual comedy clubs.
Like, she's a great, like, side character or something, but, you know, in the future...
Tremendous as Mel in Flight of the Conchords.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, can you imagine her just having her own, like, show where she's, like, her life as the girl, and she's like, eh.
Yeah. No.
And then, so last thing out this week is Stitches, which is an Australian horror movie starring a crazy murderous clown.
Love it.
Gotta have it.
So that's it for the releases of the week. So why don't we get into show and tell? And Chris.
Ooh,
oh,
ooh,
Joe, you want to go first? Okay.
I don't care. It's okay.
I was gonna ask Chris.
No, Joe, go first. My movie's from like the past.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask Chris because he hasn't been here in a while. But yeah, Joe, if you have imminent stuff that you need to talk about, let's get into.
I've got a lot of shit to talk about that I just want to fucking get through because some of it was goddamn terrible. Okay. So, in no particular order, I saw Argo, which I thought was a great film.
Yep, I agree. I don't know if it was best picture, but it was definitely up there.
It was a very good picture, but there's no award for very good picture. Really good, really good. Well done, you know, Ben. You did well, but still doesn't merit you being a cunt. Moving along, I saw The Last Lovecraft, Relic of Cthulhu, on Netflix. This is something that I saw a trailer for a while ago, and actually almost bought on Amazon sight unseen just from the trailer because it looked pretty damn funny. And it did turn out to be pretty damn funny, actually. I highly recommend it to anyone with a sense of humor and a mild to moderate interest in the works of H.P. Lovecraft. I thought that they had a great understanding of the whole mythos, and they had something to say, too, which is actually kind of nice. And I don't mean in a, like, we should respect the Earth kind of, like, message, but just in a, like, yeah, the Cthulhu, like, the H.P. Lovecraft mythos is really kind of fucked up and crazy, but it's also hilarious if you don't take it too seriously. And lucky for us, they didn't take it too seriously. So I'm not sure if there's going to be any sequels to that or if there's going to be anything to happen in the future, although they certainly set it up for such. But definitely a cool movie, kind of in the vein of Shaun of the Dead, but just without zombies, but the elder gods and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Lovecraft. Okay, on the opposite end of the Netflix spectrum, I decided to try watching Seed, the Uwe Boll not classic.
Oh, God.
I think Uwe Boll gets a really bad rap, mainly because he sucks, but he does have some good movies, okay? And you know what? If nothing else, he's out there making the shit that he wants to make, which I can respect. However, Seed was just... I have no words for it, man. It was just utter garbage. Like, everything about it, from the plot to the actual, like, killer itself, like... The killer is basically a complete and utter ripoff of Jason Voorhees in almost every imaginable way, right down to his attire. It's almost entirely taken from Friday the 13th Part 2. But I can get past that. But the problem is the story is incredibly cliched, where you have like this tortured detective, and I won't even get into how lame that is. But the movie starts with a warning. So right off the bat, you've taken me out of the experience. You know what I mean? Like right off the bat, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, what are you trying to pull? And it says like this movie contains like, and I thought it was going to say like hella violence and tits, which I would have been like, okay, well, thanks for the heads up. But instead it was like, this movie contains like disturbing scenes of like footage of death, like mixed into the movie itself. And like the first 5 minutes of the movie is just uncut footage from like PETA of people like pelting animals alive. Like, not even kidding. It's people like stepping on like fucking dogs and like doing really heinous shit. And like, to me, if you're gonna put that in a movie, at least film it yourself. Like, he literally just took footage directly from PETA's like crazy fucking propaganda machine and just threw it right into the, there was no buildup either. The movie just starts and it's like 5 minutes of that. So I guess he accomplished what he wanted to do by making people like uncomfortable, but it just made me angry. Like, not only because it's like shitty things to watch get done to animals, obviously, but like there's no creativity involved. And, like, it's not your movie. Like, if I wanted to watch footage of animals really being killed, I would have just gone onto the PETA website. But I didn't. So don't fucking show me that. Moving on, like, the kills, I mean, I guess the special effects were kind of nice. They used a lot of practical effects, but, like, there was no finesse to it. Like, for instance, there's a part where the killer is chopping a woman up alive, like this grandma-type character, while she's, like, tied to this chair. And he's hacking bits of her skull off. And it's just like this wide shot that you see from like, I guess, 10 feet back. And it's a cool gag because like the actor is like really hitting this head and like chunks of skull are flying off it, which looks kind of cool, I guess. But it's just such a like, it's just such shticked. You know what I mean? Like it takes you out of the movie almost with like how over the top it is, which shouldn't be new for anyone who's seen anything Uwe Boll, but man, just overall not good. And it's so hard to fuck up like a straight on like slasher movie like this, but he really did. I mean, then they include things like footage of like decaying babies and stuff like that. Just like stuff that you really don't need to show. And it's not even about having, like, a weak stomach for gore, because I'm all about gore and stuff like that, but there was just, like, no art to it. Like, the best way to describe it was that it reminded me of those, like, total exploitation films from the 70s, like, fucking, like, Cannibal Holocaust, or, like, Cannibal Ferox, where it's, like, plot, 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 footage of an animal eating another animal, plot, 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 and, like, women being, like, hacked up and then, like, fucked by natives. Like, it's just
Jesus,
you know. Yeah, I mean, if you've never seen those movies, you're in for a treat. But you know, I feel like that time for horror has come and go, and like it's got its own little niche, but it belongs in the 70s, and it was just a total failure. And the ending is absolutely god awful. Like, it's one of those like all hope is gone sort of endings, but it's not even in a cool way. Like, it doesn't end with a bang. It ends with like an absolutely awful whimper. And like, at least with the Friday the 13th movies, you could kind of like get behind Jason in a weird way, you know, like on some fucked up level you kind of like root for Jason because he's kind of badass. But this is just like, oh man, that fat guy with the sack on his head is like gonna kill that little girl. Like, yeah, it's just utter bullshit. So fuck you, Uwe Boll. I tried to defend you. I tried to watch this and like this, but it was just bad for you, and that's saying something. So then, on the other end of the spectrum, we have a good horror movie. I saw the original basis for the movie Silent House, La Casa Muda. It was actually pretty cool. If you're familiar with Silent House or La Casa Muda, it basically tells a really fucked up story about a
family, and I won't really get into more to it than that, but the whole setup is that you think the house is, like, haunted, but it turns out to be, like, a case of split personality and, like, repressed memories, and, like, I really did like La Casa Muda better than Silent House, which in and of itself wasn't bad as far as remakes go, but La Casa Muda, like, you don't really see the twist coming until the very end, and it's, like, an actual twist, not an M. Night Shyamalan sort of, like, hey, I bet that surprised you. This was, like, a, whoa, was not expecting that sort of twist, which is rare nowadays. So that was very well done. And it's just interesting to see, because I saw the remake first, or the American version first, so it was interesting to see how, like, in the American version, there's just such an emphasis on the twist, where, like, there's build up to it, so that by the time the twist is actually revealed, like, you just know that it was made so that people could, like, turn to each other in the theater and be like, I knew it. Whereas with the original version, it's more about, like, it wants to leave you sitting there going, huh, like, goddamn, that's upsetting. So I would definitely recommend catching La Casa Muda if you enjoyed Silent House, or if you enjoy well-done foreign horror. So there's a lot of good stuff coming from overseas, folks, especially in the horror business. Last but not least, I saw Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Why? Well, last week I watched, the first Evil Dead, just to sort of get my juices going, get excited for the remake, and then you have to follow that up with Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, which, call it by its full name, damn it, show some respect. For my money, I think it's one of the best horror sequels or overall horror movies, period, ever. And the reason I say that is because, like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but in the process, just focused on making, like, an entertaining movie, and that's why it works on so many levels. It works as an action movie, it definitely works as a horror movie, and it works as a comedy, too. You know, in a lot of ways, I feel like Evil Dead is kind of in its own sort of genre within horror. Like, I feel like it's unfair to call it, like, a possession movie, or, like, a zombie movie, or, like, a ghost movie, because it's really none of those things. You know, it's all of those things. You know, it's almost in the way that, like, when you look at the Indiana Jones movies, you're like, oh, well, it's an action, adventure, comedy, family, like, thriller. Sort of, like, it's just too many things, you know, but in a good way, because it manages it well, and I feel like Evil Dead does that as well. And what's really cool about Evil Dead 2, actually, is that there's still debate to this day as to whether it's a direct sequel or a remake or a little bit of both.
So it's still a little confusing. It definitely is for me.
It's very confusing because there are some really fucked up theories about the movie. I mean, the theories themselves aren't fucked up, but, like, they just work so well. Like, if you think about it, the first theory is that Evil Dead 1 never happened. Okay, that's totally fine. That's why you have this guy, you know, Ash, just going up with his girlfriend at the beginning of this movie instead of the four people from the original Evil Dead. And all the events happen in the house basically the same way, just with less people. And then Ash's transformation is much more drastic from, like, victim to, you know, by the end of it, like, badass hero. And it's much quicker, too, you know, which gives it more of, like, an action element, which is cool. And he doesn't get thrown through as many bookcases, which is also nice, too. But, you know, the other theory that I found really interesting and still find really interesting is that he knows, and it is a sequel. Like, and he's just kind of, like, bringing this girl that he doesn't care that much about up there as, like, bait, and, like, gives her the same necklace that he gave to his previous girlfriend who died in the first movie, spoiler alert, 30 years later. And, yeah, like, it's just fucked up because he, like, needs answers. And, like, he says, like, oh, let me just play this audio tape and, like, see what this is all about. And then when, like, the evil spirits start rising or whatever, you know, he just kind of uses that as his chance to, like, redeem himself and, like, face this evil. So
time to fight, I guess.
Yeah, it pretty much is like, oh, no, what did that do? And he's, like, ready to kick ass, which would explain why he has, like, no problem with, like, killing her immediately. Like, there's, like, no adjustment period. It's just oh my God, she's a demon. Let me take her head off. Like,
like, he mourns for her by just building the cross. Like, that took the most time to do.
The longest thing, the longest part of the process wasn't grief. It was burying her. And he was just kind of like, ah, let me do the Christian thing. And just kind of put some dirt on her and then put a cross on the ground.
Was she even Christian, or is that just something he assumed?
No. I'm just saying, like, yeah.
I know, but it's just like, it's like she was Jewish. He's like, fucking, you get a cross.
Yeah. He's like, this is the ultimate insult. Behold, as you bring shame to your dead ancestors. But yeah, man, I just love Evil Dead 2. I love that it's kind of open-ended like that, but more so than the fact that it is open-ended, I love the fact that nobody gives you a direct answer. Nobody gives you a head-on answer. I actually think that's kind of cool. I think, you know, not everything needs an answer. Some things are better left open-ended. So, really good stuff. And if you follow at all the production of the movie, a little bit of trivia for you Deadites out there. Evil Dead Army of Darkness was actually always the intended sequel to the first Evil Dead. They wanted to do something really crazy over the top where they had Ash becoming this hero. Basically, everything that winds up happening in Army of Darkness, they just wanted to do quicker and kind of skip doing that remake and or sequel, whatever you want to call Dead by Dawn. So that's why, even though it seems like it kind of comes out of nowhere at the end of Evil Dead 2, where he's like transported into, you know, the Middle Ages, and they're like, look, it's the Chosen One who'll save us from the Deadites. It might seem kind of random, but that was always the intention, was for that to be the second movie anyway. So Sam Raimi just kind of threw that into the movie and was like, okay, well, hopefully this will do well enough to get a sequel, and then I can make the goddamn movie that I want to make. So, you know, a little bit of a Evil Dead trivia for you. And that's what I've been watching.
Did you see the Justify Season Finale, Joe?
No, I have it recorded. I just didn't have enough time to watch it tonight.
Okay, we'll talk about next week then.
Yeah, I'm so excited. This has been such an awesome season.
It was pretty amazing. And
yeah, man, I don't really see them dropping the ball like in the season finale. Like, I don't see it being bad. But I just, goddamn, can I just talk about how much I love the relationship between Boyd and Raylan?
Mm-hmm.
That just constantly goes back and forth like a fucking like table tennis game. Like, all these seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
And we'll probably have to talk about Game of Thrones next week because Chris didn't see it.
Nope.
You should watch that, Chris, and then we can talk about that next week.
Sure.
Which, a little bit of news that we probably should have mentioned earlier, but Game of Thrones has officially been renewed for a fourth season.
Obviously.
Which we all saw coming. But, what's impressive about it is that they announced it, like, 2 days after the premiere. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we'll wait till, like, halfway through the season. Like, it's not like it needed any more hype.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, because usually, like, at the middle of the season where people are kind of like, oh, okay, take it or leave it, they'll come out with that news to get people, like, reinvigorated or whatever. But, yeah, good stuff. Not really surprising, but good to know that it's coming.
Yeah, considering it's, like, maybe one of the biggest shows
ever.
Yeah. Like, pop cult, like, just culturally, like, the biggest show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. And now I'm just looking forward to Mad Men on Sunday.
Oh, man, yeah. Sundays are way too jam-packed now.
Well, yeah, Sunday's way too jam-packed, and especially this Sunday, because I'm going to WrestleMania. So, going to have to wait till Monday or Tuesday to catch up on the exploits of Don Draper.
Mm-hmm.
00 Draper.
You only live twice.
Nah, 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 nah.
So, Chris, did you watch anything in your crazy whirlwind tour of America?
The only movie that I was playing at our hotel when I was in Florida for MegaCon was fucking Battleship, just like on loop.
Yes.
Nice.
So I finally caught it like 3 times, just like watching Battleship.
Like the 3rd time you're just like accepting of it and like,
what? Yeah, I started accepting, like, certain facts. I was like, yeah, I can see the Japanese inventing Battleship before Battleship was a board game invented by white people.
Battleship.
Like, I, the premise was, like, the Japanese dude explaining how, like, sonar was invented by the Japanese somehow.
Well, they invented that technique of, like, water displacement.
Missing. No. The technique of missing and then readjusting.
Yeah.
Like, that was the fucking technique. And it was, like, the most stupid explanation where it's like, oh, we shoot pretty much a test.
Give me a grid.
Yeah. And then just, like... Like, I like how you... It's like the Japanese dude knew how to turn, like, a different display... A UI display.
We have
a, by doing,
we have
like, a different turn-on system.
We have a grid
system.
Of perfectly symmetrical buoys out in the ocean.
Plus, there's, like... I don't know how the like battleships, just like their first boat was like, whatchamacallit, like it knew how to register sound waves from the alien ship or something. Like it was, I forgot like how I was trying to explain this to my friends while watching this, going like, wait, how do they know like the sound will ping off their machine, like their other weird like submarine things?
Well, they weren't, it wasn't like sonar. It was like they were, if the buoy like dropped down, like, in footage of, like, water level, then they knew the alien ship was above it.
I guess.
It wasn't like they were pinging the alien ship. It was like, oh, this buoy went down 5 feet, so the alien ship must be on top of it. Because the alien ship was, like, a fucking, like, leapfrog or something. Like,
yeah, it was like a leapfrog whale.
Yeah.
That, like, it knew when your turrets were pointing
and then
it, at
and
it
then,
stuff.
And they're kind of like the Predator because they didn't attack you if you didn't attack it or something, or it was...
Right, but it really fucking hated downtown Hawaii traffic.
Yeah.
I did not understand what the fuck that point was.
They shoot like their like giant like ball with like a tail on it to like go attack bases and stuff in a baseball game.
Or, and then there was, like, so many plots going on that it was just, like, the fucking Marine, like, the Army guy learning how to walk with, like, the hot fitness trainer that was dating,
Taylor Kitsch,
that was, like, it was just, like, so much shit going
on. And they had to go and, like, attack the radar base or something, and then the aliens took over the radar base because they wanted, like, launch a space laser to their home planet to, like, bring the home planet, like, bring the fleet to their, to Earth or whatever.
Yep.
Even, and then apparently they've been like, just like sitting in the ocean for like millions of years, I guess, or some undetermined amount of time.
I don't even know, like, I didn't even care at that point. All I knew was, okay, for some strange reason, Taylor Kitsch was like one of the worst cadets, and now he's fucking in charge of everything.
Yeah. And it's like, why is Liam Neeson in the movie? Because he's only in it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he pretty much phoned it in for most of
his... He doesn't say, you sunk my battleship, which is like, the movie just fails in that level.
Even in the end, we're just like, oh, can I permission to date your daughter? No.
You touch my daughter, I'll kill you.
I thought it would be more hilarious where, like, it just ends right there. Not even a chance of hope. He's like, I just saved the world. Yeah, but you didn't save my daughter. Like, or something like that.
I had to go save my daughter from Paris.
Timmy.
For those aliens, my particular set of skills. But I punched the wolf in the face.
Wolf punch.
Yeah, like it was like it's a fun movie, but I wouldn't I like Battleship for like, just like the way the mood I was in. If I had actually go see in theaters, I think I would not, you know, been more upset.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it in theaters and it was free, so I was a little more favorable to it, but it was definitely one of the worst movies I saw last year.
And
you should watch John Carter now and compare them, Chris. I forget which one is like the most, the biggest Taylor Kitsch disaster.
Which one's the biggest Kitsch bomb?
Yeah, that should be a new thing of like Kitsch bomb.
Kitsch bomb. Like you know, like it visually, it's like not a bad movie. It's got a good message.
It's poor as Michael Bay.
Yeah, definitely. I did like the end where like they did team up with the old like Pearl Harbor crew.
Yeah, it was like basically like America Fuck Yeah was playing.
Yep. I just pretty much was like that whole dynamic of like the old people helping, and it's just like, yeah, veterans,
fuck yeah,
which I thought was cool.
This is for Pearl Harbor.
And it's like this point, the one Japanese guy, he's like, ah,
I will never forget this day.
I still don't even know why the aliens wanted Earth if they can't breathe our atmosphere.
Didn't like that satellite station launch a signal that brought the aliens here or something?
Yeah, it's like we just like
our bad.
Yeah,
but they came anyway. It's just like, well, they can't survive.
They're building
their suits.
I don't. Were they building? They were gonna build like a. They wanted to like increase the signal of the thing, or I don't know what the hell they were doing. Because they're building something at that radar station.
I think they wanted to submit more of a signal back to another, to their planet, saying it was okay to come or something.
Yeah, I think didn't they say the Marine was like, oh man, they're establishing a beachhead or something. This is like the expeditionary force.
I call it the Independence Day like route, where it's just like, yeah, like radar signals, communications, whatever. We just fucking nuke them.
Except there's no Jeff Goldblum this time.
Chess
metaphors.
Yeah, there was, and then blowing them up with an Apple Newton.
There was
my God.
There was a Jeff Goldblum type
guy. But he like ran off.
But he came back out of nowhere.
I can't do this. Bye.
I'll never forget you.
So that was it, Chris. Battleship.
I did watch Men in Black 3.
Good movie.
I liked it. Yeah. I just can't figure out how like it plays with the whole how it fits in from 2. Like it doesn't seem like a natural sequel from like 3 to 2. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't really flow very well. But
either of them flow for the first one.
No.
First one is an awesome movie. Yeah. And then the fact this is the prequel to it, like parts of it, in the sense where, like, Jay, you know, changes how K, like, history works and blah, blah. I'm like, oh, so at the end where everything kind of wraps up where, like, nothing really changes except for maybe K's just a little happier. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like it was good on concept, but it was just like, oh, I kind of like 2 better. 2 felt like the natural, like, progression of the story. This one just kind of seemed like a side story. Like, here's the thing. This same movie seemed like it could have taken place any time between 1 and 2.
Yeah, probably.
That's why I feel like that's how the story was. Like, there was no, like, real character development. We just know that, like, spoiler, you know, Jay's father did something in his life besides just not be there.
There's a reason he wasn't there.
Yeah, I kind of was looking for that. They kind of hinted at that like in the beginning. I was like, okay, I look for the next black man, and oh, hey, next black man.
Josh Brolin was awesome as young Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah, that part was awesome. The fact that, like, they go back in time, and there's all these, like, crazy 70s, like, designs going on, and, like, there's Annie Warhol, played by...
Bill Hader,
and just that was
cool.
That was cool.
That was funny.
And then fucking even the Griffin thing about him like seeing the different possibilities that could happen all going on and he has to figure out which one's happening. I thought that could have been its own fucking movie. You know?
He and Dr. Manhattan should hang out sometime.
Hey, I think that's just basically what his character was a ripoff of. Mm-hmm. He had really no power to do anything else, so he just kind of like enjoyed it.
Enjoy it.
Oh yeah, and I liked it. It definitely was. I know the song. You know what it was missing? The fact they didn't have a Will Smith song, but it had a Pitbull song.
Awful Pitbull song. Yeah.
If you listen to that whole Pitbull song, it's the whole fucking plot of the whole movie.
Yeah, so it's then, in the classic tradition of Will Smith songs.
Then it turns. No, then just, it Will just randomly turns to dubstep for no reason.
Oh no! See, like.
The bass
starts screaming out, hey, like, something, like, he screams out the place where it takes place in Florida. Then he starts talking about, like, going
Cape Canaveral,
back to Canaveral,
and then...
Yeah, he screams out, hey,
New York City in the 70s.
Yeah, like, that's the whole fucking beginning lines. And I'm like, I never understood what that meant until I saw this movie. I was like, holy shit, this is the fucking plot.
It's like, it's like nod your head, black suit's coming. It's like the entire plot of Men in Black 2.
He doesn't go into detail.
He does. He's like, there's a whole lyric of like, he's just like, there's this alien.
Yeah, man.
She's coming to take the planet. Me and K gotta stop her. There's also the other person here. Frank the Pug is there.
And that's another thing. Where the hell's Frank the Pug in this movie? Where the hell is?
Can I just say something for the record, really quick? Wiki Wiki Wild, Wiki Wiki Wild, Wild Wild West, Jim West, Desperado.
Yes.
Need I say more?
Nod your head, black suit's coming.
At least those three movies,
as classically and appropriately lampooned by Eric Hartman,
Well, I'm a badass cowboy living in the cowboy days. Wiki wiki slash yo yo bang bang.
Oh my god. This needs to bring that back. There needs to be like an After Earth rap.
Oh, man. That would be great.
Me and my son, After Earth. This crazy alien. Oh, this crazy animals running around and stuff.
I was kind of upset that there wasn't anything for I Am Legend.
Or iRobot.
iRobot would have been great, because you could have had like all those crazy Svedka Vodka robots like dancing with him,
like,
dancing with him
like,
in the background.
You could do like a sample of like Don't Wear a Ghetto, Mr. Roboto or something.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I watched besides maybe Bob's Burger, which is like great. Again, it was like I had nothing to do in an airport, so I started watching Bob's Burger, and I was like, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's decent. It's decent. No, some stuff kind of. No. Archer is.
Although,
I actually said this to Chris the other day. I was like, yeah, Archer is definitely at the top of H. John Benjamin's resume.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely that.
Oh, can I say how weird it is to hear him doing those like Pepsi Max commercials or like the Pepsi, whatever. Like he's doing like the, is it Coke Zero or I don't know who would.
I have yet to hear this.
I'm intrigued and upset. I think it's Coke Zero, and it's like it's all for like March Madness. It's just like, but it's like, why is Archer telling me about March Madness?
That's really weird.
Alrighty, so as far as what I'm watching, actually just quick, Walking Dead season finale. It was pretty solid. It actually really, really wide open, I think, just because they know, there's like, unless AMC gets blown up, there's no way it's going to get canceled, so...
Well, if they're housed in the same building as Michael Bay's production company, then
yeah,
maybe.
But so it's super wide open. Not real, like it didn't really like it. Just let like just next season, it's gonna keep going. Like they didn't really wrap up this season's storylines too much. It's still a pretty solid episode though. A major death that you expect from The Walking Dead. So that's pretty awesome. You guys should catch up if you sometime soon. And then, as far as movies go, I watched a couple of classic action movies to start off with. I watched Death Race 2000 on Netflix, which is that movie is like ridiculous. It actually is like watching that again, I haven't seen it in like a ton like years, and I haven't seen it since like Death Race the new series launched. Like, the new Death Race has pretty much nothing to do with the original one.
Nope.
Like, it's just, like, Frankenstein is the only thing they bring from the original one. Because, like, the Death Race 2000 is, like, it's a cross-country race, and you're scoring points for killing people, and Stallone is there. And they have, like, crazy cars, and, like, one of the drivers is a Nazi for some reason, and everyone loves it.
No one wants to point it out that that's a Nazi. They just support it.
No, there's like in the stands, there's like freaking like people just waving Nazi flags and stuff.
Well, that's common in NASCAR, so you know, it's,
yeah.
See that shit all the time.
And they're basically driving like Hot Wheels cars.
It just cuts to like aerial shots of Hot Wheels cars on like tracks.
Orange. It's like a loop de loop.
My god, that loop. We almost didn't make it.
Yeah. Also, like, the one thing I will say that the new one has over the original one is that the Frankenstein costume is way cooler. Like, the original one is just, like, a fucking gimp suit, basically.
Yep.
David Carradine has, like, his crazy, like, fake, horrible, like, scarred face that he wears. With, like, his, like, he has, like, a hair lip and, like, no eye, like, no, his, like, eyes just crazy wide open and all burned and stuff. It has the weirdest like ending ever of like they kill the president and then he gets to be president because he killed the president.
It's a classical rule.
Yeah. There can only be like it's like Highlander or something. There can only be one. But yeah, definitely check that out if you haven't seen it. That's a cult classic.
Indeed.
Thank Roger Corman. And then I also watched 48 Hours.
Oh, nice.
Which is maybe one of the most, like, historically significant action movies of all time. Just because it created the buddy cop comic, like, movie.
It sure did.
And then also launched, like, Eddie Murphy's first movie.
Really?
Yep.
Didn't see that. Wow.
Before Beverly Hills Cop, it was 48 Hours. And so, like, if you look in, like, it has, like, this crazy, just, like, all-star team of, like, action, like, directors and, like, it was directed by Walter Hill of, like, The Warriors and most recently Bullet to the Head. And then also the music was, like, music was by James Horner, and it basically sounds exactly like the Commando theme, Commando soundtrack. With, like, maybe a little bit less cow, like, island drum kettles, but... and then written by Steven E. D'Souza, who actually directed Commando. Commando. I think both, actually.
I think he wrote and directed.
And then wrote,
actually,
like, Die Hard and a bunch of other stuff.
So basically, we need to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. I think he got arrested for something.
Well, Everything Action is going to jail.
Like, arrested for, like, cocaine, I think, maybe, or something.
Arrested for single-handedly destroying an island full of mercenaries.
Yes, that was documentary footage. It wasn't...
Killing the man who kidnapped his daughter.
Mm-hmm. It was the Arnold... Have you guys seen that YouTube clip of, like, the Arnold conspiracy? Where it's, like... there's, like, this old... Like, this guy who's, like, he basically, like, just says that... All Arnold movies are not movies. Are like they are like CIA operations that they just send Arnold in and pretend it's a movie and they use him to like kill targets and stuff.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'll just send that to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, 48 Hours. Also, like, just crazy, like, weird, like, action cast of like people, like, you have like James Remar as like the main bad guy, Gans, who's also like,
yeah,
Warriors and other ton of other stuff. You got Billy from Predator as Billy in this movie, Billy Bear.
Wow, foreshadowing.
Yeah, you have David Patrick Kelly, aka Sully, as like basically Sully in this movie.
Jesus, I forgot he was in there.
Yeah, he's actually Luther in this movie, but like, Brian James is like one of the detectives. The angry black captain from Last Action Hero is the angry black captain in this movie.
Oh, man. You can never have enough angry black captains.
Mm-hmm. Nick Nolte, his voice is only like a third destroyed from cigarettes and whatever, yeah, whatever other drugs he did.
And yelling at God.
Yeah.
Yelling at God. Or is he having weird, you know, Moby Dick speeches?
Mm-hmm.
Before he was a gorilla in Zookeeper.
Before he was fighting the Hulk.
It's like a lightning cloud.
A hate bubble.
Yes. And it's just like super classic, awesome, like, we have to chase this one guy down in the city movie, like, pretty much every Dirty Harry movie is like that. Out for Justice, all those.
All the classics.
Yeah. Man, if you haven't seen 48 Hours, I mean, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but you should go watch it immediately.
Even another 48 Hours, not as good, but so much better than so many other things.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw Lincoln.
Ooh, historical.
The
Lincoln?
Huh?
The Lincoln?
The Lincoln. Like, Oscar-nominated last year, Lincoln. It was okay. It's kind of weird, because it's not like it's not a full biopic. It's just, like, focusing super closely on Lincoln trying to get the 13th Amendment passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're looking for, like...
So it should have been called 13th Amendment?
Yeah.
Huh.
Ratification. Yeah, so if you're looking for, like, a like in depth of like this is Abraham Lincoln's life. This is not the movie to go see.
You should probably then watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which is much more biographical.
Kind of.
Oh man.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire, the book is ridiculously biographical. Like, if you take out all the vampire stuff, it's just a really great Abraham Lincoln biography.
If you take out the vampire stuff, it's basically a seventh grade book report.
Yeah.
On Abraham Lincoln,
yeah,
his life and his accomplishments.
And yeah, Dan Lee Lewis is just amazing as usual, you know. I guess the weird thing about Lincoln, I guess I don't know if this is actually true about Lincoln or not, but like he just solves everything with like weird homey, like homespun stories that like,
yeah,
they actually like call it out in like the movie of like, God damn it, Lincoln, not another story.
Nah, it's true. He was actually really big on that and like parables. Yeah. Also,
when I was traveling down the Mississippi River, I saw a bullfrog jump on a horse. So that's how we should ratify the 13th Amendment.
It's the story of the frog on the log.
He's kind of like Buzz Killington from Family Guy.
Because he was on the porch side.
Well, he did ruin the whole, you know, owning slave thing. So.
Have you guys?
Yeah, that was a buzzkill.
Yeah.
Have I told you the story about how the cotton gin was invented?
Boo.
Oh yeah, and then another thing I learned from Lincoln is that apparently, like 1840s, like 1850s, Congress was just like, it was just like a back and forth like yo mama contest. Because basically they didn't like for the debates. All they did was just like it was just like who can do the best insult against each other. Like they didn't.
You rapscallion.
Which, if they did that today, I'm sure like way more people would be watching like C-SPAN or something. But it's just like,
really?
Yeah, like one guy just comes up and it's just like ripping into Abraham Lincoln, calling him like Abraham Africanus Lincoln, the first king of the United States, and then like Tommy Jones comes up and like calls like yells at someone like, "You sir have slime instead of blood." I'm just like them just go, that's like. They don't really debate the issue. It's just like them who can come up with the best insult against each other, and then they win.
I think I was born in the wrong time.
Yeah.
That would have been the job for me.
it's like Joseph DeCrow, like who can like rap lyrics or something.
Yeah. Halt what thine are doing. The hour of the hammer is upon us.
When thine mother rests around the settlement, she rests around the settlements.
Oh, what a hearty row.
Thou snappest.
You scoundrel.
Yes, and it's full of, it's like just most jam-packed full of that guy as you could possibly imagine too, so it's got that going for too. It's good. Don't go in expecting like Civil War action or anything. It's just like it's a lot of like political. It's political maneuvering and stuff.
It's one of those damn adult pictures.
Yeah, talking, lots of talking.
One of those damn talkies.
Mm-hmm.
You're no Chaplin.
And then last thing I watched G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Ooh.
Which is. Well, it's way better than the first one.
Okay, that's a relief.
Still not quite up to like being like the franchise is not quite up to like being an awesome action franchise yet. There's still quite a bit of issues with it.
But is Marlon Wayans in it?
No, and there's no like they don't even acknowledge that. That's one of the weird things about the movie is that they take some things from the first movie, but then they just completely ignore other things.
Is Scarlett still around?
No.
Wow.
Ooh.
So basically, what they do is they take this cliffhanger from the first movie, which is Sartan's the president, and they take that, and then they make this like really vague reference to like the nanomachine wars or something, like this opening like intro sequence, and then like G.I. Joe now is Duke, Roadblock, Flint, Snake Eyes, and Lady J.
Okay.
And it's like, well, there's no reference to any of the G.I. Joes from the first movie. There's no reference to anything that happened in the first movie besides Zartan being president.
What about Cobra Commander being best friends with the Baroness? Like,
no mention of Baroness at all in this movie. And then Cobra Commander and Destro somehow get captured by Duke and locked in like this weird cryo prison run by Walton Goggins.
But isn't that what happened in the first movie?
That he was in like a cryo prison?
Not a cryo prison, but you know, like
next to Walt Disney.
Well, in the first movie, he was basically Dr. Mindbender in the first movie, and then became Cobra Commander. This one he's just fully Cobra Commander.
It's not played by Yorgos Levy.
No, it's just some random dude.
Oh, no.
But he does have like the Cobra Commander mask finally now, so he has actually a pretty awesome costume in this movie. Besides,
into the costume of that instead of like the weird like thing.
Yeah, he was like vaguely Jason X sort of looking thing. from the first movie at the end. But yeah, basically what's going on is the Joes are sent to on this mission to Pakistan to like secure this nuclear weapons facility, and then the president finally decides to take them out, and pretty much everyone's killed besides Flint, Roblox, and Lady J. Spoiler alert, Channing Tatum gets killed in like the first 10 minutes, so you can look forward to that.
Oh, they didn't bring him back.
My
they
God.
Kill them off.
It's Mortal Kombat Annihilation all over again.
He's in the beginning, and you're immediately reminded just how horribly miscast and tooly he is in that role. And then they kill him, and then like it's like, thank God The Rock is here to lead us in this movie.
See, I thought they redid the whole movie to like, add him back in again.
I mean, I'm guessing there's a scene, sort of like this horrible like comedy scene that they added in, which I'm guessing is maybe that's what they added in. But yeah, he's in it for like 10 minutes, and then gets blown up. Blowed up good. But yeah, it's got some pretty awesome action sequences in it. The scene in all the trailers of like the ninjas in the cliff scene, that is amazing.
Yeah, how did Snake Eyes inherit like a ninja like clan?
Well, so Snake Eyes is like off doing his own thing kind of at the beginning, and then apparently there's like it's like, well, one of the most horrible miscastings ever, but RZA, or the RZA, is like his ninja sensei.
Oh god.
And then they also have Jinx, who's like the—
could someone please tell the RZA that he's not Asian?
Yeah,
thank you.
Well,
that
according,
is all
according to the racial draft, he is right.
Yes. Along with most of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah. but yeah, so Jinx, who's like this like ninja in training, and then she and Snake Eyes go and because something like Storm Shadow gets like horribly burned, and so they like go to this like monastery where they like use like nano machines or something to heal him, and then that's what they're like going to like capture him and question him about like what Cobra Commander's doing. So that's why they're going to that crazy monastery, and then like just jumping off cliffs, and there's like multiple ninjas, and then all sorts of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
Another awesome sequence, when Firefly, played by Ray Stevenson, goes to, break Cobra Commander out of, like, the crazy prison, that's pretty awesome. He has, like, his main thing is, like, he has, like, these Firefly, like, robots that he sends out, and they all, like, line up stuff and they explode. And then it's also his motorcycle transforms into, like, rockets, and they blow up things. And he looks and acts just like the cartoon version of Firefly, which is pretty awesome. Like, he has, like, his camo, like, ski mask and stuff, and...
I see. I think Firefly was a, like, he wasn't in the original series, the cartoon, and even on the Steak version. I think he was in the, like, Sigma 6 and everything.
He was definitely in the comics, because
he was in the comics, yeah. Because he was also, like, a ninja in the comics.
Yeah, he was, like, ninja, mercenary, no one knew who he was.
Yep.
Another cool thing to do is, like, there's actually, like, G.I. Joe-looking vehicles in this movie, unlike the first one, but, like, they had, like, those stupid accelerator suits. But, like, this one...
Do they mention that?
No mention of those either, which is pretty good. But, yeah, there's, like, Hiss tanks, so that's pretty awesome. There's, like, very G.I. Joe-looking, like, hovercrafts and, like Roadblock gets the like crazy tank vehicle at one point. The helicopters and planes all look G.I. Joe-esque, so that's pretty awesome. Bruce Willis is awesome. Is pretty.
I forgot like, he's in that
way
movie
way better though. Than Good Day Die Hard. yeah, it's General Joe Colton, who's like the why they called themselves G.I. Joe. It's a pretty awesome scene where like they go to his house and then like they just find like every nook and cranny of his house is like full of weapons.
He's pretty much the same character from Red.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, the only like I get a 3 out of 5 on the site. The only like the major thing that's like criticism of the movie is that the plot and the pacing is like completely horrible. Because it's got like a solid beginning and end of like a G.I. Joe movie, but the middle is just them slowly figuring out what's going on in the plot, even though everyone knows, like, before we went into the movie, we knew what the plot was, that Zartan's the president. That's the whole main conflict of the movie, is them trying to figure that out, and it's just super slow and super, like, just figure it out already.
So did anyone scream that at the screen?
No, but I was thinking it. Like, one of the big, like, supposed to be, like, tense sequences is, like, them, like, they send Lady J in undercover to, like, sort of, like, get a sample of the president's hair so they can figure out if it's who the president actually is. And so this whole thing of, like, they're trying to analyze this hair sample and then is she going to get caught or not, then it's, like, going to, like, oh, my God, what's this going to be? What's this going to be? It's, like, he's Zartan. We know this already. Yeah, over it's okay. It's 3 out of 5, so it's solid but not great. I wouldn't rush out to see it, but if you want to like check it out on DVD or something when it comes out, actually if you want to go in the theaters, like that ninja sequence is pretty awesome on the big screen, so, and a couple other action sequences are pretty awesome on the big screen, so maybe worth checking out like a matinee or something. But you probably wait too. So. That's pretty much all I've been watching. So I think we can wrap this thing up for the week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of that we need to talk about.
Nah, son.
All right. So if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for a ton of stuff, all our usual regular features. Like I said, a review of G.I. Joe is up there. We actually just put up our April movie preview as well, so you can check out everything that's coming out in April for movie-wise. Actually, this week too, you can, if you come to the site, you can check out, we have a new, entry for Everything Action Theater, and you can watch Starship Troopers in full right on our site.
The future is now!
Thanks to Crackle.
Yes.
And then, just a ton of other stuff as well, so definitely come check out the site. And also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction. Follow us on Tumblr, everythingaction.tumblr.com for just random clips and posters and anything else we find on random photos of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the woods with fake animals and like Jean-Claude Van Damme like petting a baby tiger, other crazy stuff.
One of those is a joke, isn't it?
Both of those are on the Tumblr actually, Chris.
Jesus.
And then also, we're on iTunes. If you search for Everything Action on iTunes, you can find us on there. Subscribe, rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, and it's free. You get the last one you search on the site. You can also listen to the podcast on there as well. Also, listen to us on Stitcher, stitcher.com. Search for Everything Action. You can stream us on there. You can download episodes in there. You can also get their app and download and pretty much stream or download us from anywhere. And you can also email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.